Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, aka your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Hey, yo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The NHL regular season begins. Ravens and Commies square off Sunday. And Bronny and LeBron share the court for the first time in a professional NBA basketball game. But It's hard to start the show with baseball, but we have breaking news. It finally happened. The New York Jets, or paper planes, have seen enough of Robert Saleh. Saleh was fired today, mere days after the Jets' defeat at the hands of Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings, 23-17 in London. Saleh was 20-36 in 3+ seasons as head coach of the New York Jets. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich will serve as the interim coach. This team has struggled to find any kind of identity under Saleh. Certainly not the all gas, no breaks bullshit that he was trending on for a long time. So where do the Jets go from here, and where does Saleh end up?
I'll address the second one first, because that seems like a no-brainer. It seems to me like he is calling Kyle Shanahan and he is begging to go back to San Francisco to rebuild his image, rebuild his career. He'll get another shot because everybody gets a shot. Everybody gets two, right? Frank Reich got two. Dennis Green got two. Buddy Ryan got two. So there are going to be multiple opportunities for him to kind of clean up his image and rehab that. The Jets, under Robert Saleh, defensively, they were fine. Offensively, was the fucking problem. They were never higher than 25th in the league in points scored. That's not good. They were never higher than 25th in yards gained. That's atrocious. Now, yes, you had Zach Wilson. Yes, you had Tim Boyle. Yes, you had Mike White. Yes, you had Aaron Rodgers for 4 snaps last year. Now you have Aaron Rodgers for 5 games. And you've had Matt LaFleur's little brother. You've had Nathaniel Hackett. You've had coordinators who couldn't coordinate their way out of a paper bag. And it's very telling to me. It's very telling to me that Nathaniel Hackett, who has head coaching experience, yes, it's bad, but it's still head coaching experience in this league. They're like, nah, we're good. We're going to give it to the defensive coordinator and his sweet-ass beard. So that's very telling that he is not getting his second bite at the apple. It really tells you something about him. Now, there's a lot of palace intrigue surrounding the Jets, right? Wouldn't let Robert Saleh address the team. Robert Saleh was escorted out of the building. Apparently, another report indicates that Saleh wanted to demote Nathaniel Hackett and give Todd Downing the play calling. And like 5 minutes later, he got fired. So you hear stuff like that, and then there goes the plausible deniability of Aaron Rodgers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett, they're tied at the hip, right? Nathaniel Hackett was brought in here specifically because Aaron Rodgers is here. There is no reason otherwise. Nathaniel Hackett isn't such a brilliant offensive mind that 32 teams were knocking down the door to fucking get Nathaniel Hackett. Yes, we must have him. Yes, we must. No, Aaron Rodgers made this guy. Kind of like Peyton Manning made Adam Gase. Up, the Jets got twice. Congratulations. So, that being said, the Jets are still in position to be in second place because their division is fucking putrid. The Dolphins don't have a quarterback. The Patriots are starting Drake May. And Buffalo, by the virtue of being healthy, is in first place. There is that old saying, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. There you go. That's the AFC East right there. In the land of the blind, the Buffalo Bills have one eye, so they're king. And they're not without problems. So, Woody Johnson said this was about expectations. He's absolutely right. This team has not met expectations for years. But it's very interesting to me that only Saleh is going. I do find that interesting. He's been Mr. Rah-Rah. He's been Mr. Pom-Pom. He's been the head cheerleader, right? The HC we thought was head coach turns out was head cheerleader. So, lots of excuses, lots of bullshit, lots of double talk out of either side of his mouth. And he didn't back it up. His team didn't back it up. In moments, they did, but not consistently. Offensively, never. So, the Jets have nowhere to go but up. But defensively, they're going to be fine. I don't know how Ulbrich is going to manage both roles, if he's going to delegate the role of DC to somebody else. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know what the org chart's looking like, but it's going to get worse before it gets better, but you can only go up. Only up.
I don't know about that. Oh, so many things to talk about here. Jeez. I mean, listen, I think this was 2 years too late, right? And, you know, he should have been let go 2 years ago. I don't get why they're doing it now. Like the defense is seventh in the league. The offense is last in the league. They're averaging 18 points per game, which is the same they averaged last year without Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know. I think there's a lot more going on that we're not aware of. I think what might have led to him getting canned was asking for Davante Adams. I think that might have been one of the things that would have gotten him canned, or maybe it was asking to demote Nathaniel Hackett, and Rodgers wasn't having that. So, the problem is there was just too much talk. It was too much talk, and it started with their general manager, went to their head coach, and it went through all their players. I mean, you had ESPN and Greeny saying, oh, they are the only team in the AFC that's going to contend with the Chiefs this year. What? On what planet? Like, what? Like, how could anybody look at this team and say something like that? And I'm not saying they don't have talent. I'm saying it's because their quarterback is 40 and coming off an Achilles injury. But see, I watched the game again before our show. And defensively, they seem fine. Like, there's blown assignments, but nothing that screams, like, terrible. Right. But offensively, you got Aaron Rodgers walking up to the line of scrimmage with a 7-man front. Aaron, they're all coming. They're all coming. They're not even hiding it, Aaron. They're coming. And he drops back to pass. Like, they're not. And he gets blindsided, and he's, like, surprised that he got hit by Harrison Smith. Did you not see him on the line of scrimmage? What did you think he was going to do? He's playing safety. I know he's fast, but he's not that fast where he's going to run all the way back in the outfield and play center field for them. right?
Right.
And then you're on the 20, and it's 4th and 2. You line up in the pistol, right? And you've got Breece Hall about 9 to 10 yards away from where he needs to get for a first down. They're showing a 7-man front. They're coming. You turn around and hand him the ball. How the fuck is he supposed to get to... He's hit before he even gets to the line of scrimmage. Like, it's 4th and 2, asshole. Like, what are you doing? If you're going to run him, give him a chance. Let's line up tight. Let's put him at 4 yards or 5 yards behind the quarterback. But yeah. 10 yards off of where you need to go. How are you getting that ground? And it's like, and then in the game, it's bad plays by Aaron Rodgers. They're bad throws, Z. They're just bad throws. He's missing guys. And this is something that he didn't do in the past. He would put the ball where he wanted to put it. And he's missing guys. Overthrows, underthrows. The last interception, where the fuck are you throwing the ball? Mike Williams is 6'5" running down the sideline. You're throwing it on the ground. Stephon Gilmore just falls and it hits him in his chest. What did you expect Mike to do? Get inside of him? What were you looking for on that play? And that was 3rd down. If it's not there, asshole, throw it away.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? You were getting blown out, 16-0? 17-0, whatever it was?
17-0.
You have a chance to win this game. You're in. You're on the other side of the field. You're right outside the 20-yard line. We're outside of the goal line or the red zone or the gold zone. We're right outside there. That throw is terrible. So, you know, and then we've talked about on the show, Breece Hall, what happened to you? You're falling backward, not forward. They can't run the football. Why can't you run the football?
I got to jump in on that. I'm going to jump in on that. Morgan Moses, you invest in this Tyron Smith. You have veteran offensive line play. Where the fuck are they?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Right. And they seem like confused. Like they seem like they don't know who to pick up. Like it doesn't seem like in the pre-snap they know who they're supposed to take. Because there was other plays where Aaron's dropping back and there's a guy running free. There are people getting double team and single team and there's a guy running free right at Aaron. And he has to throw the ball. Like Did we dock over this in practice? Did we not talk about how we're going to... You're saying, they're veteran guys. Did you all know that this guy who's on the line of scrimmage is not accounted for? Who's supposed to pick him up? You know? So, I mean, I think there's a litany of issues, right?
Yeah.
that needs to be covered by all bases. I don't like seeing people lose their job. I'm not for that, but... There seems to be a lot missing here. And why does it now fall on Ulbrich? What has he done? Why is this his mess now? Why do you think he can fix this? It's almost like you should have did what you did with Zach Wilson last time. Zach, you're in and you're staying in. It's your mess. Deal with it. Robert, you've created this. Just stay in it. Deal with it. Because where do you go from here? Because now, that's the other part. It's like, who hires the next coach? Does Aaron hire the next coach? Who hires the next coach?
You figure Joe Douglas isn't getting another shot, right?
Does this guy retire after this year? I don't know. I don't know. Like, if they lose to Buffalo, then what? Then does Nathaniel Hackett go? Does Joe Douglas go? Who goes next? It's a winnable game. It's not like it's not a winnable game. Like, they played like shit last week. They suck, too.
It is, you know, and I do find it very odd. I'm just going to throw this out there. That, you know, you're right. We suspected that, you know, you wait for the bye week, and then this, by all intents and purposes, should be a bye week. It's a bye week for the Vikings. It's weird.
He hasn't done this in 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
so what he finally be set? Something happened.
Yeah.
Something had to happen because Z, they're playing for first place on Monday. They're playing for as terrible as they are as a team, they're playing for first place on Monday. So you must have, something must have happened. He must have said something. There must have been some kind of spat where it was like, somebody needs to go. Because, listen, I've been with the organization. They don't operate this way. I mean, they're really stupid, but they don't operate this way, you know? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why now?
They're stupid, but they're not rash.
Why now? Why not after the Bronco game? Right? Why not after that game? Why this game? What was the difference? The Bronco game was a lot worse. I don't know. It's very strange. It's very strange. And to talk about Saleh, I don't know. I don't know if he gets another head coaching job, Z, because I don't even know if he wants another head coaching job.
That's
fair. You know, some people learn it's not them. It's not him. He's a rah-rah guy. He just like Rex Ryan was. Great schemes. He's a good schemer, and he can teach defense. He knows defense. Not a doubt. But just had no knack for the offensive side of the ball. Like, at the end of the day, dude, you were on board with saying we are out. We are a quarterback away. No, you're not. You're not. You never were. You all were playing this up like you were the Buccaneers of 2021. And you weren't. You weren't at all. And now that's what you've built this up to be. You know, and I don't, like I said, and I don't know how much of this is Aaron Rodgers. Because now it's like you have all these Packer guys. Whoa, we're going to bring in Adams too? For what? For what?
Right.
Why would we bring him in? Why would you trade a second round pick for a guy who's only going to be here for a year?
It doesn't make any sense.
He can only stay for a year.
Yeah.
If he even wants to do that. And if you're Garrett Wilson, you're like, what the fuck am I doing here then? What am I here for? You already don't throw it to me. You keep throwing Alan Lazard. Who the fuck is Alan Lazard?
The guy who dropped like it.
That's what I would keep saying. Like, in the huddle, I'd be like, who the fuck is Alan Lazard? I am Garrett Wilson. They threw it to him this weekend.
Yeah.
They threw it to him. They had 13 catches and a touchdown. But, dude, the offense is awful. Awful. The defense played okay. I mean, they, you know, it's those Rex Ryan defenses. I mean, unless you have a good quarterback, they can give you a problem.
No, totally. And, you know, that's the confuzzling thing about this is that on paper, they should not be in the position they're in. But we need to drill down here and we're going to talk.
What should their record be? What should their record be?
A competently coached team with a good offensive coordinator. There's no reason they can't be 3-2.
Okay.
There's no reason. I'm not saying 5-0. I'm not saying 4-1. 3-2. They should have fucking won that Denver game. Like, come on.
I mean, does this come down to, like, maybe a conversation was had? Maybe Joe Douglas made this decision. Was it something that was like, hey, man, if we're sub-500 after the fifth game, like, I'm pulling the plug on this? Like, is that where? Like, I just don't know. Like,
dude,
you know.
But this thing's a fucking train wreck because now you have players.
They were getting blown out. They were getting blown out, but they did come back.
They did.
I mean, they did make it a game.
They did. But the offense was also a direct contributor to the scoreboard for the Vikings because he threw that pick to Van Ginkle. Oh, they anticipate the slants. That's the problem. They have the book. They have the tape on this Aaron Rodgers offense.
Oh, yeah.
It's predictable. It's
garbage.
Extremely predictable.
Basura.
Completely. Well, that's Nathaniel Hackett for you. We saw the same thing with Russell Wilson. We were blaming Russ. No, it's not Russ. Russ, we apologize. It's not you. It's not you. Jesus Christ himself probably couldn't run this offense.
4th and 2. Let's line up in the pistol against the number one defense in the league.
There have been a lot of stupid decisions offensively this year, and this is just the latest in them. But you have to figure there is some sort of palace intrigue going on. We're going to talk about LeBron and Bronny later. Aaron Rodgers is running this show. He can say all he wants that he was blindsided by it, but no. Like, there's no way in hell that your star player, star, alleged superstar, the guy you traded heaven and earth for, the guy you signed and extended, You're telling me you didn't run this by him?
He's looking washed, Z.
Oh, he looks done. He looks completely toast.
He's looking washed.
But so is that offensive line.
He's getting hit, and he looks like me after a game of pickleball. He's like, ah, my leg. My leg. Like those, oh, God.
Those bug eyes, man. Like, it's every fucking play. You see those bug eyes. But the offensive line looks atrocious. Like, what phase of the game? Outside, I mean, Zuerlein has been spotty. Now, granted, the rain did not help him against Denver. But he hasn't been good even when it was dry. So he's been okay. So
yeah,
you're hanging your hat on this defense. The defense is merely okay. Like, they're second. Yeah, I get it. They're
seventh in the league.
Seventh in the league. As we've seen this year, defense hasn't been that good. Like, we were lauding the Steelers. The Steelers got torched. We laud the Ravens. The Bengals just hung 38 on them.
I think we're going to talk about the Ravens later, but
we are.
Hey, listen, every defense is beatable.
Yeah.
The Jets scheme well. Like, give it to them. They scheme well. They make it hard for a regular quarterback to operate. But when you play against professional quarterbacks or teams that have talented, skilled players, that's where this defense goes to shit. And if you don't get pressure on that quarterback, it doesn't work. But listen.
So wait, hang on. Does Hassan Reddick now come in the building? They're begging him to come. Johnson is hurt. Mosley is hurt. You have players begging him to come. Does he finally enter the chat?
I disagree with you, Z. I'm calling Dallas. I'm calling Dallas. Guys, you guys need defensive linemen. We're not going to bring him in. We're not going to make a connection here. Give us a fifth round pick and let's call this a day.
Yeah.
You know? And then he becomes your problem. And maybe he gets there and he wants to play for Dallas. Or maybe he works out a deal with them that they actually agree to before he gets there. Like, that's the way I'm playing it. There's no point in bringing him in now. He don't want to come here. And I don't even know why anybody else would want to come here. Why is Davante Adams want to go to either the Saints or the Jets? Dude, do you have CTE? Do you see what's going on here? Do you see the passes Derek Carr was throwing over the weekend? And then you want to come to this team where their coach just got fired? What are you talking about? Go to Buffalo. Go to Baltimore. What are you doing?
If Davante Adams comes here, you lose the team. Plain and simple. Unless you're trading Garrett Wilson for fucking Davante Adams, which you'd be stupid to do.
Imagine if they did that, though, right? Imagine it. I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be the most Jet thing ever.
Because if you're Garrett Wilson, you're like, get me out of here. I'm not gonna fight for receptions between Lazard and Adams now.
Right.
What? And your bummy ass is throwing the ball? Get me out of here. I'd rather go play in Denver. I'll catch passes from backup Zach Wilson again. Fuck that. Like seriously, like both of them, I think Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson are beyond frustrated. Beyond frustrated. Like,
how could you not be?
I can't imagine that they've signed an extension. There's no way. There's no way. I am not coming back here. You could give me all of King Midas's silver. I'm not coming here at all. No way. You guys don't know what you're doing. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
It's a complete joke. It's an absolute farce. And the what's even worse is that they have the potential to take over the division lead.
They do.
Like, what the fuck? that's all you do with the AFC East. What the fuck?
We're all busy these days and wear a lot of hats, myself included. I'm a teacher, a podcast host, and a chef instructor. But there's one thing we all have in common. We all have to get dinner on the table. And if you need a little inspiration in the kitchen, check out As You Eat It, only on YouTube, hosted by me, Chef Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's AZ. You eat it only on YouTube. Check it out and let's get cooking.
But we said we were going to start with baseball. Let's get back to baseball. This postseason has been electric so far, so lots of come-from-behind wins, particularly by the Mets, and star-driven baseball driven by the Dodgers and the Padres. So the Mets have been able to switch into another gear in the late innings. Can they rely on those late-inning surges to beat the Phillies in a Game 5 series? They're up 2-1.
Yeah, the Mets won tonight, and they didn't need those late-inning heroics. They built a sizable lead in the middle of the game. Listen, I think the Mets are just still flying high off of their series with Atlanta and their series against the Brewers. Like, they're using momentum. I mean, there's no doubt about it that the momentum is definitely in their favor. You know, Wheeler was pitched a gem, and he just got beat in late innings. And they have Suarez, I think they'll have to beat tomorrow.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think they have to rely on those late inning surges. I think they can beat the Phillies the way the Phillies are currently playing right now. They're not banging the ball. I think they have a total of 3 runs. No, because they scored. Yeah, how many
10
runs
they scored?
10 runs in the series.
Oh, no, 11 runs. 11. 11.
The Phillies have scored 11 runs in the series?
Yeah, so they won 7-6 in game 2, and then they lost 6-2, and they lost 7-2.
So they're averaging a little over 3 runs a game, which is not really their, you know, they bang the ball. So it's surprising how well the Mets pitching is doing, right? I mean, I don't think you really anticipated that. So I think the Mets are doing well. I think they're going to continue to do well. And I don't think they have to rely on late inning surges to beat any team.
No, absolutely not. They can win anytime. Like we went to a game together. We've seen multiple. We've seen this act from the Mets. They can win early. They can win late. The starting pitching was definitely the weakness of this team at the beginning of the year. Those are just a giant question mark. You know, you bring in guys on reclamation projects, Manaea, Severino. Like, what are you going to get from these guys? Kodai Senga, he's done. He's back in July. He's done again. He's opening game 1. David Peterson, huge step up this year. Huge step up by David Peterson. Jose Quintana, there to take a beating. I think he's 500 on the year. That's what he's there for. Like, he's there to be your number 4. So,
but he's their number 4, but he's got a sub-4 ERA.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Well, he's a solid pitcher. He's been a solid pitcher his entire career. So, it was just a bunch of solid guys and hope for the best. And everything has clicked. And that's nothing, you know, that's all you can ask for. Bullpen has been shaky. Carlos Mendoza's usage of the bullpen has been shaky. He's been very quick to bring in Edwin Diaz. A little panicky. You're bringing in your closer. You're bringing in Edwin Diaz specifically in the 7th inning in high leverage situations. Edwin Diaz is not the Edwin Diaz from 2 years ago. He's not. He doesn't have that level of confidence right now. And Met fans don't have that level of confidence in him. He's been shaky. He's been high wire this year. So it's been a little bit of a tightrope walk. Stanek has filled in. Maton has been up and down. These are the guys that they brought in at the trade deadline. They fortified the back end of the bullpen because Adam Ottavino is trash. He's been trash for years. And yet he's still on this roster. I like to think it's because Brooks rarely got hurt and had Tommy John. That's the only reason why he's doing that. But where the Mets have really started to excel is they're stringing hits together. This has been a very feast or famine offense, a very hot and cold streaky offense. But look who's starting to kind of click it together. This lineup, you have Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, Alonso. Now it's starting to get some continuity. Now you're starting to see some success. Martinez got on base. Winker hit a freaking bomb tonight. So you're getting key contributions from guys deep down in the lineup. Tyrone Taylor, that fucking throw, nailed Alec Bohm at second base. Should have been an easy double. Dugouts that way. So, this is a credit to David Stearns. He built the team based on solid starting pitching, nothing spectacular. They're pitching head and shoulders above where people expected them to be. Very good defense, timely hitting, and let's get it out of the way. Pete is coming around. Another Oppo Taco. So that's five since August. That's pretty impressive to go Oppo five times. Now, he's playing his way back into contract talks. Because up until he hit that home run off of Devin Williams, there was no way in fucking hell he was getting a long-term contract. Based on what we saw from him, based on the fact that if anything had a little bit of a wrinkle, he was swinging at it and missing. He had a hole in his bat, the size of the Grand Canyon. And that Devin Williams changeup, it changed everything. He seems locked in now. He's ready to go on a run. So I think that the Mets are a well-rounded team. The Phillies are very top-heavy. We know who the Phillies are. We know who's good on the Phillies. We know who's good. Carlos Mendoza knows who's good. And that's part of the problem, too. He managed scared in game two. Oh, I don't want any part of Harper. Oh, I don't want any part of Schwarber. Well, you got fucking Castellanos. Wait, eventually, you got to pitch to somebody, buddy.
Turner, Realmuto.
You got to nut up and fucking pitch to them.
They bang the baseball, usually.
They do. But you know what?
Again, you're facing a division opponent. There's a lot that goes into this.
Their bullpen is trash, though. The bullpen is absolutely terrible. Kirkring has been awful. Alvarado was not good today. Strom he's been eh. Estevez was erratic. This is what you're living with right now. Billy Wagner's not walking through that door. So that's definitely something that the Phillies are going to want to address in the offseason if they want to compete at the next level. I'm not saying the series is over. This is most likely, I am prepared for this to go five because they are two division opponents and this is a slugfest. They've taken each other's best shots. So I'm fully prepared for this to go five. Now, here's my question to you. If you're Rob Thompson, are you panicking and going Wheeler tomorrow?
No, I've never been a guy that believes in the three. Come on, I'm an Atlanta fan. I'm not about pitching guys on 3-day rest. That don't work, man.
Yeah, but this isn't Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, and Avery. This is Zach Wheeler and pray for rain. These other guys aren't that good. Sanchez Suarez hasn't been that good. Suarez was okay, and Nola gets touched up by the Mets. Yeah. He's a good pitcher against every other team except for the Mets.
I like Suarez. I like their chances. I mean, it's fine. And whatever happens, happens. You're not going to – listen, you go with the guys that got you here. That's what it comes down to. You can't change any of that. You can't just – Chris Sale it every day. But the Royals, even their series against the Yankees last night with the 4-2 win in the Bronx, Aaron Judge is struggling from the plate.
Looks like Aaron Rodgers up there.
Yeah. Do the Yankees need Aaron Judge's bat to beat the Royals?
Yeah. Absolutely. They need all hands on deck. Because we know who's good on the Phillies? Well, we know who's good on the Yankees. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, occasionally Glaber. Stanton is an automatic double play. Chisholm is good at hitting home runs. Good for him. Austin Wells has been decent in the four hole. But he's kind of come back to earth a little bit. They have no first baseman. Rizzo's got broken fingers. Ben Rice is cratered. You're looking at John Birdie and Oswaldo Cabrera as your first baseman. So, Verdugo, singles and doubles. They desperately need Aaron Judge to get hot. They desperately need Juan Soto to wake up.
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't see Kansas City as a formidable opponent where I need all of my guys to be playing. There's just one guy on that team that they need to come to play, and that's Juan Soto. He's their best player. That's who they need. Yeah, Aaron Judge almost ran the Triple Crown. Yeah, he almost led the majors in home runs. But he's not the complete baseball player that Juan Soto is. And Juan Soto's electricity on the field brings more to that clubhouse than Aaron Judge. So, and again, it's just the Kansas City Royals. Like, this should not, their best player is playing like shit. Their best player, I think, is 0 for 10.
Yeah.
So, and this was, this, the funny part is this series was close to being 2-0. They gave Jazzy Chisholm, because replay don't work, they let him steal a base even though he was out. And that Verdugo once winds up knocking him in, and which winds up giving them the Yankees the lead and eventually wins game one.
I'm going to push back on what you're saying, though, just from the simple fact that what's stopping me from walking Juan Soto every time? Aaron Judge needs to be hot. Aaron Judge needs to hit. Like, that's the thing. What's stopping me from putting four fingers up saying, go to first base?
Like, that's nothing. 100%. No, it's 100% accurate, but they're not. They're not doing that. At least they're not doing it yet. But that's true. I mean, they could totally do that. And I don't know what the response would be, but you shouldn't need Aaron Judge to beat the Royals. You should just need Juan Soto to beat the Royals, because that's the guy you traded for. That's the guy you brought here. I mean, this is what he's here for. He's a one-year rental. This is what this is about. He's supposed to shine. This is why he's here. And he could bring them home. He could beat the Royals by himself. I'm not scared of the Royals. You think the Yankees are scared of the Royals? They probably should be scared of the Royals.
They should be scared of the Royals.
You think they are?
I think that the Yankees
The Yankees need to keep their mouths shut, too, because...
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Like, there's a lot of hubris with that Jazz Chisholm shit. Like, oh, they got lucky. Oh, did we now?
They got lucky. You're the ones that got the call. Right. We're watching the same fucking game.
Right. Did we now? Oh, my goodness. Like,
as we board the plane to Kansas City.
Bulletin board material. If that's billboard material. Never mind bulletin board material. Yeah, no, that is ego writing checks that your ass might not be able to cash. Now, fortunately for Jazz Chisholm, he's got a home run to back it up. But you don't see a Judge talking. You don't see Stanton talking. You don't see Soto talking. You see guys that have been there before, their mouths are fucking shut.
I think Stan's another guy. Stan's another guy that he's a guy that they need, you know.
If he's not,
if they're gonna win, if they're gonna win everything, if they're gonna win the whole damn thing, he's the key to winning the whole damn thing. Because, you know, even if you get by Soto and get by Judge, it's like, oh fuck, I gotta pitch this guy now. You know,
yeah, but you know what?
Who hits the ball 160 miles per hour off the bat
when he makes contact?
Yeah,
when that's the problem. He's either a walking strikeout or a double play because he can't run. Dude cannot run.
Yeah,
he's done. Like he.
He played running back for 5 years or something. Like, I don't understand these baseball players not being able to run.
It's the 2% body fat, man. Like, he has no, like, that's it. Like, you need some fucking fat on you. But, you know, they need as much as possible because that Yankee lineup is thin. It is thin. Like, you're kind of hoping and praying that Glaber shows up.
Yeah, like, sure.
Volpe's a singles hitter at this point.
Yeah,
Wells is fine. In a slump. You have no first baseman.
He's trash anyway.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? You need better performances than you got from Carlos Rodon. Like,
Well, he has his one bad inning. His one bad inning just turned into, like, what, four runs?
Four runs.
That was the problem there.
Yeah. And then, you know, strange, you know, believe it or not, Yankee
Bolt. He's Rodoning.
He's doing what he does. Like, Rodon is Rodon. It's a verb.
He's now, Rodoning.
Like, but Gerrit Cole, the king of the excuse, oh, I was too rested. Well, you had the best record. You had a week off. What the hell were you supposed to do? Right? I don't understand I don't understand that comment. Like, I'm confused by that. Like, that's what you played for the entire year. You were trying to get the best record. And all of a sudden, you're too rested? Throw more on the side. I don't know what to tell you. What the fuck, man? Like, you make Mike Mussina look low maintenance. Like, that's all I can say about Gerrit Cole. And, you know, are we going to see Luis Gil in this series? Like, Luis Gil, who was probably your best pitcher this year? Are we going to see him at all?
He is the best pitcher.
He's in the bullpen. He's in the fucking bullpen. Are you kidding me? Like, wake the fuck up. Wake up. I mean, it just reinforces there needs to be wholesale changes. Like, we've been talking about this for a while. The Yankees are thin. The bullpen, reconfiguring the bullpen seems to have worked.
Yeah, not if they win. If they win, I mean, in this new format they have going here, you know, if they win.
If they beat the Royals, chances are they're going to the World Series. Because historically,
sure,
they've handled the Tigers. I get it. They're a bunch of kids. They don't know any better. And then you got Cleveland. Historically, they've handled Cleveland, too.
The Indians. This is the Royals.
Yeah.
These are the teams that have made the playoffs in the American League.
Well,
thank you, thank you, thank you, Rob Manfred.
You know what? No, it's not Rob Manfred. Thank you to the Mariners who choked it away. Thank you to the Twins who choked it away. Better teams choked away these spots. Like, better teams on paper, but they don't play the game on paper.
The Astros choked it away.
The Astros got beat by a hot team. The Orioles choked this away. The Orioles choked away the entire season.
They got beat by one man. They got beat by that pitcher from the Tigers.
Skubal.
And yeah, they got beat by we talked about it in production meetings, probably the best or the second best pitcher in the postseason this year. And they had to beat him in the first game in their place after they won the division.
It's Skubal and a bunch of kids, man.
You're welcome. But the Padres and the Dodgers series is even. They're about to play at one game apiece. But the Padres look like the better team at this point. So, how have the Padres done so well without Juan Soto?
Well, first and foremost, they have Tatis Jr. back. That certainly helps. Now, you think he's off the roids.
Like, you like him.
Oh, I don't like him. I think he's an egotistical prick, but he's a good baseball player. And you need good baseball players on a baseball team.
He dances like an ass in the outfield, too.
Oh, God, Jerickson Profar. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're jumping up and down. You're taunting the other assholes. Change your name. The San Diego assholes. There you go. Why are you doing that? There's absolutely no reason for you to do that. Like Manny Machado flipping the ball at the Dodger dugout. Now, I understand that, you know, Dave Roberts overreacted. That it was, what did he say? It was disheartening?
Unsettling.
It was unsettling. Dude, you've never had a ball flipped at you? Right here. He flicked it at you. Get the fuck out of here with that unsettling. Get the fuck out of here.
I think if he wanted to hit you,
he would have hit him.
I think exactly. He's talented enough to get it by the net or get it around the net. If he really wanted to, I think he could have did it.
Yeah. I mean, you're having a good year from Higashioka, Arias, who just won his third consecutive batting title, Bogart's left with an injury, but you have Cronenworth, who's good, former All-Star. You have a guy named Manny Machado. You have Jackson Merrill, who is in contention for the Rookie of the Year. He's probably going to lose to Paul Skeens, but Jackson Merrill's had a very good year. Profar is out kicking his coverage. How are they winning without Juan Soto? They have a complete team. They actually have a complete team. It's not a one-man show. And then when you look at the roster coming out of the bullpen and coming out of the dugout for pitching, Cease, Darvish is back. Michael King is going tonight. Martin Perez is a solid pitcher. He's like the Jose Quintana of the Padres. Solid. And then you have the bullpen. Now, the bullpen has been better. But, you know, you have Adam. You have Wandy Peralta, Tanner Scott, Suarez. You've got guys. How do you do this without Juan Soto? You build a friggin' team. That's how you do it. And it's 26 guys, not 25 and 1. It didn't work with A-Rod being 25 and 1. It doesn't work with Juan Soto being 25 and 1. You need 26.
Well, it will be interesting to see what happens if the Padres actually get to the World Series and they make it there and they have to face the Yankees, because that'll be like the Juan Soto sweepstakes, right? It'll be like, oh, well, you know. I think
the Padres won that trade. I mean, the pitcher they got. What was the name of the pitcher they
Michael
got?
Michael King.
He pitched again. Yeah, he crushed it, dude. That guy could pitch, man. He's really good. You can believe how good he is. So, you didn't skip a beat, and you didn't really need Juan Soto. I mean, Juan Soto was like the cherry on top of an already star-studded team. But you almost, you got to ask what happened last year, don't you? Because, like, last year you had him, and we know now how good he really could be, right? And you didn't make any noise last year, and you weren't able to get it done. And I get it, you know, you got Tatis Jr. back this year, but is he really the X factor? Is he really the player? And maybe he is. Maybe he is. I think they're going to get past the Dodgers, just because the Dodgers pitching is terrible. I don't see how they're not going to hold up here.
And Freddie Freeman's hurt now.
Yeah, Fred, he's playing tonight though, but he is hurt.
He's hurt. He's hurting.
And then you're gonna have the Padres and probably the Mets in a championship series, which would be very interesting.
Yeah, that would be very serious. That would be very interesting. Greasy Joe's not there. So I'm very interested to see how, you know, this is farther than Michael King has ever gone. Remember, this is a very similar character arc or a very similar career arc to Seth Lugo. The Yankees would not put him in the rotation, much in the same way the Mets would not put Seth Lugo in the rotation. We like you out of the pen. All right, well, trade me.
You know, fuck off.
Fuck you. Yeah, exactly. So Seth Lugo said fuck you, bet on himself, and now he's doing very well for the Royals. And Michael King is doing fantastic for the Padres. So, you know, mea culpa to Seth Lugo. Like, I thought you were a career reliever. You're out kicking your coverage here. You're doing very well for yourself. So they have depth. The Padres have depth. It's going to be an even matchup against the Phillies or the Mets. It's not over yet. So I'm saying that either way, if whatever matchup it is, that's going to be a very intriguing matchup. The Dodgers look banged up. Kershaw's not coming back.
Yeah.
Freeman's
it's
playing
just not
hurt.
Their year. Bueller's going to get beat up today for sure. Yeah. Like, you know,
it's not a fait accompli, you know, like Bobby Miller did not work out. Like he was not the answer. Nothing seemed to work this year. Like Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani were carrying the load. Now,
I don't think Mookie has a hit this postseason.
No,
yet.
No. But you know that's also we were talking about the whole rest versus rust. You had a week off, like that cools off. That cools teams off. It does.
It does. It certainly does. It plays into it. It really does, and it gives, you know, it kind of gives bad teams a chance to, you know, warm up and dig deep and play better.
Yeah.
It just does. But to go back to the Dave Roberts thing, I mean, Manny's just, he's always been dirty. Like, that's just who he is. So, you know, you don't take offense to it where you're going to threaten to fight the guy. Or, I mean, he just looked like he's so stupid. It's like, whatever, dude.
Well.
Like, whatever.
Dodger fans are a little touchy right now because they, you know, how many of them got into it with Profar? So, that, like you were talking about the Phillies and the Mets being a rivalry, by comparison, Dodgers-Padres is way more intense. You know, we're not seeing
sure.
this shit between
those
the
Philly
Met fans and Philly
are crazy,
fans.
Though. Philly fans are crazy, though. I would not mess with Philly fans.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They'll fuck
no
you up.
No way. No way.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. Air Care Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact Air Care Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1515. 47. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
Baseball is going great, but basketball and the NHL are about to start. Bronny and LeBron
James became the first father and son to share a basketball court during a professional basketball game this past week. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I'm sure it's a big deal for LeBron and Bronny. You know, LeBron has been holding out for this for a while. And, you know, like we said, Bronny, it was like a fait accompli that he was going to end up with the Lakers. And he didn't get signed to a rookie. He got signed to a big deal, right? He got signed to a way above slot deal. So this is a huge deal for him from a financial standpoint, even if he's proving, you know, even if he's not ready, this is huge for him because he's going to get to fulfill what LeBron wanted. He's going to get a fuck ton of money, and he's showing that he can be a defensive stopper. So that's pretty good. Like he's showing that he's got some defensive chops. Offense, maybe that comes along. But if he ends up being like Andre Iguodala, that's not a terrible career, right? If your ceiling is Andre Iguodala, that's fine, right? If you're going to be a defensive stopper, cool. The game will come. The offensive game will come, you hope. I mean, we were critical of him for not staying at USC a little bit longer to develop, but he's going to get on-the-job training. Now, it's a little deal in the historical standpoint, because LeBron came in the league at 18, and he's 40 now, so he's had a long and storied career. So this is just a little highlight, much in the way like Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. was a highlight. That was a nice moment. I'll give you that. It was a nice moment, but in the grand scheme of things, it really is no deal on the court. In the James household, huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just a no deal just because of the way it came together. You know, it's basically like LeBron made this happen, you know, because like we talked about, he didn't have to be drafted. You know, he could have just signed with the team. No, any team that was going to draft him, they were just drafting him because his dad, and they were hoping, oh, if we get his son, we'll get his dad here. And there was nothing about how good of a basketball player he was. I would rather see Bronny stay in school, get better, and come out and be his own person, you know. And now it's all going to be, well, you know, you got drafted because your dad's on the team. And then if he's unable to prove himself, I mean, at what point does he go to the D League, you know? And the other part about this is like, you want to compare it to the Ken Griffey Jr. situation, but you can't. No. Because Ken Griffey Jr. was selected first overall by the Mariners. Like, you know, and he wound up having a Hall of Fame career and just happened to play on the same team as his father, you know?
Yeah.
So I would have liked to see it happen more naturally that way. I think it loses a lot of its luster just because of the nepotism that happened for it to happen. I might feel a little better about it if he wasn't drafted by the Lakers and he was just signed by the Lakers, or if it just happened 2 or 3 years where he's like, he earned it, you know, or maybe the Lakers trade up to get him, but because he's so good, like everybody wants him. And that's not really the case here. So it's a forced issue. I say it's no deal. Don't really care about it.
I agree. And, you know, like you said, it's a different, baseball is a different animal than basketball. You play young in basketball. Like LeBron was 18. He started, right? Yeah. You have guys in their late teens starting. The exception to the rule is a guy like Ken Griffey Jr. and like a guy like Andrew Jones, Bryce Harper. They're not normal. That's not normal in baseball. Early 20s, some guys mid 20s. Pete Alonso didn't come up till he was in his mid 20s. Guys blossom at different rates because you have so many levels of minor league baseball to climb. The cream rises to the top. And Ken Griffey Jr. was the cream.
Yeah. And his dad was a good player, but he wasn't a great player. And that was cool. They share an outfield together. But, you know, we'll know pretty early on if this is being forced.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, you, like, He's taking a game check from somebody who really probably needed that opportunity, right? Basketball is all about getting an opportunity to showcase what you can do. And there are he wasn't even the best player on his team in college. And I'm sure the best player on his team, if given a chance to play in the NBA, might have made some noise. But he doesn't get it because his dad's not LeBron James. It's just a bad look. Just a bad look.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
But NHL season starts today, and we buried the story. So many other things going on. But, Z, really quickly, which teams do you see making the conference finals this year? Who are you excited about? Who are you down on?
Well, the NHL...
Let's see. We didn't talk about this before the show, so I'm curious to see if we've got the same teams.
I'm interested as well. Now, to be fair, the American opener, the Western Hemisphere opener, was tonight. The season opened up last week in Chechnya. The New Jersey Devils took two games from the Buffalo Sabres. So the Buffalo Sabres were in last place before anybody else even took the ice. So congratulations.
And you were there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You were in Chechnya.
How do we not? Of course. You got to go. You have to
go.
Got
that press pass.
You know it. You absolutely fucking know it. Now, you got to figure the Edmonton Oilers are still going to be up there. Right? They lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. It was a heartbreaker. They were worn down by the Florida Panthers.
I sent you that video of Connor David, man.
Yeah.
Talking to that man. I was listening to that, and I wanted to go play. I don't even play hockey.
We heard two different things. You got motivated, and I heard motivated. Will Ferrell from Old School. We got to keep our composure. He was losing his shit. He was about to cry. So... You know, to me, it was that moment when the Florida Panthers started popping bottles. So they had him so frustrated, he was almost on the verge of tears. He was screaming and on the verge of tears. But there's a high percentage chance that the Edmonton Oilers will be back there representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Final. There's a high chance that the Florida Panthers will be there in a rematch. The way they play, they're unparalleled. Right, nobody can really do what the Panthers do. They lost some guys. Other guys will get opportunity. That's how it works. I like what Boston did. Boston is trying to match what the Panthers are doing. They see what's going on. They're trying to match up with them. I think they can. I think that'll be a good matchup throughout the year. The Canucks free agents went to Boston, and Boston's free agents went to the Canucks. It's very interesting. Like, DeBrusque and everybody, they all went west, and then all the Lindholm and everything, they went east. It was very interesting. And I think both teams got better because of it. Both teams got exactly what they needed. It was like a trade. It was very interesting. Dallas is Dallas. Like, they're gonna be at the top. Colorado is going to be there. Nashville is intriguing. I'm intrigued by what is going to be with Stamkos and how they're going to fit this team together. Like, that's going to be interesting. Carolina, in my opinion, is going to take a step back. I don't think that they're going to be as good. They lost, you know, they lost Pesci. Like, Pesci's important. He's a good defender. He went to the Devils. So the Devils get better. The Carolina Hurricanes slip a little bit. The Islanders got better. You put together a top line with Horvat, Barzal, and Anthony Duclair. That's pretty freaking good. That's pretty goddamn good. Now, is the rest of the team any good is the question. Like, I don't know that, but we're going to find out. They certainly are more interesting. You know, that brings me to the New York Rangers. I'm not impressed at all with what they did. Not at all. Are you kidding me? So, you brought in Riley Smith. And that's it. Like, that's your move. You were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. You were going toe-to-toe with the Panthers. And this is it? This is what you do? Are we going to get more than 4 minutes from Matt Rempe this year? Are you relying on a guy like Edstrom? Brennan Othman? This team has Stanley Cup aspirations. This team has potential to do that. Now, the Athletic has them at 6% to make the Stanley Cup. That is 8th, according to the Athletic projections. They're going to be good. They're going to be good. As presently constituted, I don't see how they make it back. I don't see how they make it back to where they were last year. Second round knockout, maybe? I want to believe. I want to. I just don't see any improvement. I don't see enough improvement. So it's going to be a slog. Like, they're not going to do what they did last year. And that's disappointing as a Ranger fan. Now, can they make trades? Can they sign free agents? Can they just pick guys off? Sure. But it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good whatsoever. So in my way too early prediction, I can't help but see a rematch. I can't help but see a rematch of the Panthers versus the Oilers. Maybe there's a different outcome this time. But it's hard for me not to see that based on what other teams have done.
Oh, all right. Well, we're a little different. So I have Dallas and the Oilers in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm.
Okay. And I just think that Dallas is loaded. Like, I just think they have a ton of talent and what they've got elite goaltending.
Yep. Ottinger's really good.
Right. And I feel like this will be their third conference finals in a row. I can see them getting back there. The Oilers are deeper this year, man. I just think they have Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson. Then they have Stuart Skinner. Yeah, and then they have Stuart Skinner between the pipes. Like, I just think they are a deeper team. They're a ready team. And after hearing that Connor McDavid speech, I've got the Oilers going to the championship. I got them going to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the Eastern Conference, I disagree with you. Maybe I'm being a homer, but I like the Rangers' chances. And I really think it really just comes down to their coach. I think they have a really great coach who understands how to win hockey games and understands how to get his teams ready to play with the talent he has. I do expect more playing time for Rempe. I also expect Shesterkin to crush it. I expect him to be the best goaltender in the league this year. And on the other side, I've got them facing the Panthers. And really just comes down to Bobrovsky. I think he has a killer season. And the Panthers are just so talented. They just know how to win. They remind me of those Lightning teams that were getting there almost every other year. And I just feel like they know what it takes to win. And I have the Rangers over the Panthers. And I have the Rangers getting there and facing the Oilers. That's what my Stanley Cup final looks like.
And that's fair. You know, like, the Rangers did finish. They were an Eastern Conference Finals team. They took it to Game 7. But you have to be concerned with what they did and didn't do. And one of the biggest things, Kevin Weeks reported that Shesterkin rejected.
Yes. That's a big dollar extension.
That's a big one. Like, what's he looking for?
How much is he looking for?
Right. That's the question, right? You're looking for Henrik Lundqvist money. Well, certainly you've delivered as many championships as Henrik Lundqvist. So
give him whatever he wants. You ain't going to get better than him.
You're not going to get better than him, but you're also not going to be able to pay everybody. Like, that becomes a problem. Some of these guys are going to have to go, because, you know, if you're going to give him a blank check, you're going to be running, you know, the Hartford Wolfpack out there from, you know, second, third, and fourth line. So, you know, you expect a big year from Trocheck. You expect you you made the big moves last year, right? You brought in guys last year, 2 years ago. This is it feels thin. It feels thin right now. Now, their thin is still very good. Their thin is probably third. If we were doing 1 through 8 in the Eastern Conference, they're probably the three or four. So by no means are they bad. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not seeing it. I'm not in love with what Drury's done. I'm just not in love with it. And I think that the Florida Panthers, they're the class. They're what you have to do. They're the measuring stick right now because they won a thing we like to call the Stanley fucking Cup. So, it's one of those things that I want to see. I want to see the Rangers do well. I want them to shut me up as a fan. I want them to be better than what I think they are. What I think they are is pretty good. I want them to get to the top. But I think, like the sizzle and the steak, there's no sizzle this year. There may be a lot of steak there. They're not the Maple Leafs. Like the Maple Leafs. No, they're, according to The Athletic, they have a 10% chance of making this. When the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me with that? So according to The Athletic, we're to expect a Maple Leafs Oilers Stanley Cup final, right? And a Canadian team will finally have to win it because there are two fucking Canadian teams there. Somebody's got to win, right? I don't believe in the Maple Leafs. I'm sorry, I don't. Until further notice, I don't fucking believe in you. I'm sorry. Like, Matthews, Marner, Neil, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. Wasted potential. That's what it is. Nothing but wasted potential. So, we'll see. The Rangers drop their puck tomorrow. We already had a couple games tonight. St. Louis is already, they already beat the Kraken. So, those are two bottom of the barrel teams. So, we'll see what happens. There's a clear line of demarcation between the very good and the very bad. And right now, it's hard to see anything but just the very tip top excelling this year.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement. It's either more likely or less likely. Little WNBA here. More or less likely, the New York Liberty will win the WNBA championship.
Yeah, I mean, this comes after they advance to the finals and they're waiting to see who they're going to play, right? Mm-hmm. Listen, Breonna Stewart to me is just one of the best female basketball players of all time. And she just happens to play for the New York Liberty. I have a very hard time seeing any team coming into the finals and being New York Liberty. So I'm going to say more likely.
Considering the fact that the New York Liberty have never won a WNBA championship. This is kind of like icing on the cake right now. They just took out the defending champion, the back-to-back defending champion, the two-time defending champion. So they're going to go up against either the Connecticut Sun or the Minnesota Lynx. Right now, currently, it's halftime. The Minnesota Lynx are ahead of the Connecticut Sun. This has to be. They have to. Between Ionescu and Breanna Stewart and the team that they built, they started building when they brought in Ionescu, when they brought in Stewart. They started building that super team for the Eastern Conference. Las Vegas built a better one. Now, they've overtaken the Aces. That was the hurdle, right? Can you topple the Giant? And you did. What you worry about is a little bit of a backslide. You worry about being satisfied with taking out the Aces, and you lose sight of the prize. That being said, they're way more talented than either team on the other side of the bracket. So it's way more likely. But I got to figure the Connecticut Sun, like, they're probably going to give, like, they're a very physical team. Like, they gave Caitlin Clark Fitz very, very physical. So that might be a team that the Liberty may not want to play. But currently, Minnesota is ahead. We'll see what happens. But based on star power, based on history, you got to say more likely. It's about damn time. It's about damn time. More or less, number two, Commanders Ravens is the game of the weekend in the NFL.
Oh, man, that's more likely. I mean, we're going to really find out how good Mr. Daniels is, because he's about to go up against one of the most dominant defenses in the National Football League. And the thing that the Ravens defense struggles with is they struggle with outstanding wide receivers, outstanding talent on the outside. And Washington has Scary Terry, but outside of Scary Terry, that's about it. The Baltimore Ravens are big. They're strong and they're fast. So it's going to be interesting to see how well he can play in those conditions. And as far as on the offensive side or the defensive side for the offensive side for the Ravens, you're going to have Dan Quinn, who can scheme it up better than anybody. And then you're going to have Lamar Jackson to tend with, who's having an MVP caliber season. And big Derrick Henry, who is tough to bring down. And so I see the Ravens putting the Commanders in their place. But what do you see? So I'm going to say it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be low scoring, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think both sides are going to get their licks. But I do think it's going to be the best game of the weekend. So I'm saying more likely.
From an X's and O's, you figure, absolutely. You figure that it is more likely. From a storyline perspective, no, not even close. You have the shit show between the Bills and the Jets. That has taken over in terms of deliciousness, in terms of intrigue. What the hell are the Jets going to be on Monday night? Like, I'm intrigued by that. Prediction is pain, but prediction. We'll get to that when we go to the option. But
pain.
But I want to see what the hell they're able to do between now and Monday. What the hell, you know? Like, now you have my attention for all the wrong reasons. So from the rubbernecking train wreck kind of dumpster fire, give me Jets Bills all day.
Oh,
give me Jets Bills from the standpoint of, I can't wait to see what the fuck is going to happen. Like, this is going to be an absolute shit show. But as a football game, I'm going to take this. I think you're right.
Okay, good.
So you have two huge rushing attacks, right? Baltimore's number one. Washington's number two. Baltimore is ninth in the league in passing yards. Washington's 14th. the number one team in the league in points for? The Commies. Not too bad, right? You know who the number two team in points for is? That would be the Baltimore Ravens. So this is going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. I don't expect a defensive struggle at all. I don't expect that. Because we just saw the fucking Bengals hang 38. I know I keep going back to this, but we just saw them hang 38 on this Ravens team. And
but that's because they have a lot of talented wide receivers. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are a problem. They're a problem. They're fast. They're elusive. They get open almost every play. I mean, that's what the Ravens struggle with. They struggle with outstanding, and which any good defense does. Any good defense is going to struggle when you have really good receivers in the outside, because why? You can't cover them in man-to-man, and they're gonna beat you when you try to blitz or you try to send extra players. So it's understandable.
Well, Cincinnati also gave Washington fits too. So they hung 33 on the Washington defense. So maybe Cincinnati is the common opponent. There, maybe that's the aberration. But when we look at it, the Commies defense, 20 against the Bucks, 37 against the Bucks. That was week one. Only allowed 18 against the Giants, only allowed 14 against the Cardinals, only allowed 13 against the Browns. There's something there. Are they going to be able to do that against a better offensive unit? No. Derrick Henry's a beast, likely is starting to eclipse Mark Andrews as the favorite target. Zay Flowers is getting his burn. He's getting his chance. Like, it's going to be close, but it's definitely going to be... This is definitely going to be a shootout. And I don't know. It's a coin flip, man. It really is a coin flip for me. The question is, who blinks first? Who makes the first mistake? Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson?
Okay.
So, Jaden Daniels, we haven't seen a lot of mistakes. But he also hasn't been put in position to make a lot of mistakes. That's what the Baltimore Ravens do on defense. They fuck you up. They'll fuck your shit up. But Lamar Jackson doesn't play the cleanest game oftentimes. So he's going to need to play a very clean game this weekend. X's and O's, give me this game. This is going to be a good appetizer for the shit show that's going to happen on Monday night. But I'm going to throw out another one too. Something else to look forward to. Cowboys-Lions. That's got potential. Yeah. So we're going to see. But the two biggest ones, Jets and Bills, and then this one here for the X's and O's. Give it here.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to thefadestorewithdnz.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Robert Saleh.
That guy.
Wow!
Look at that!
Sorry, coach. Sorry. Yeesh.
Look at that. Ooh. That's got to be the first time ever that that's happened.
That he gets the Ash Trophy and then he gets
that's
fired.
That's got in the Ash Trophy and then got fired.
Jesus Christ.
Got sent down? Wow.
Send us your mailing address. We'll send you a shirt. Oh,
wow,
dear Jesus.
That's amazing.
Sorry, coach. Best of luck in your future endeavors. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
So first up, I've got head coach of the New York Jets, or former head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh.
Poor bastard.
The day has finally come. You have a chance to win this 2 weeks in a row. You relieved your head coaching duties today after having the worst head coaching record a coach has ever had with a minimum of 40 games for the New York Jets. Your team was inept, unable to score points, and just really wasted everybody's time. I'm just glad I do not have to hear any more of your press conferences where you do not take accountability for how terrible your team is and how terrible your team plays. Robert Saleh, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Manny Machado, throwing a baseball in the direction of Dodgers head coach Dave Roberts. I mean, what are you looking to do? Get a rise out of somebody? You're an adult. Act like it. Manny Machado, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Dodger fans. After the Padres started teeing off against Dodger pitching, Dodger fans in the outfield started throwing things onto the field to the point where the game had to be stopped. Again, act your age. Be an adult. Dodger fans, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't go wrong with any of those. You really can't. I'm going to start with the Jets organization. Now, yes, you know, Saleh's been terrible. Absolutely. But you made this so much worse. Let him say his goodbyes to his team. Don't escort him from the building. Don't draw attention to it. Just say, we've decided to make an organizational change. Move on. Instead, Jets gonna jet. Jets are the fucking clown show that they always are. Now you have reports coming out that he balked at keeping Nathaniel Hackett as the play caller. Woody Johnson didn't want Todd Downing because of Aaron Rodgers and the palace intrigue. Shit show. Complete fucking shit show. Forget green. Change your colors to brown. Because that's a shit show. You know what? Make them brown, orange, and red for the dumpster fire that this fucking organization is becoming. Absolutely ridiculous. Yes, he needed to go. Yes, it was time. But why must it be a fucking clown show? Why? New York Jets, handle your shit better. New York Jets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. I gotta go with Jerks and Profar. You went with Dodger fans, I'm going with Jerks and Profar. Why must you, as an adult, as a professional athlete, as a, you know, a seeming a rational human being, you rob a home run from Mookie Betts? We don't know that. Because you're standing there like a putz on an invisible pogo stick, bunching, you know, jumping up and down in front of Dodger fans, revealing the ball, which the crack Fox camera crew missed. Congratulations, Fox. And then you proceed to try to present it with it, to present the ball to a Dodger fan who doesn't want it. So you're just gonna, you know, antagonize them, like you're rubbing their nose in it. And then you wonder why they throw the ball back on the field. And then, oh yeah, classless Dodger fans. Why are you stirring the fucking hornet's nest? Why are you doing that? Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Plain and simple, won't start nothing, won't be nothing. Jerks and Profar, act like you fucking been there before. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, Jazz Chisholm. Yes, you hit a home run. It was a majestic home run. It cut the lead to 4-2. So, the king of the meaningless home runs, right? You have Mike Cameron, Carlos Beltran, and now we can add Jazz Chisholm to that list in terms of meaningless home runs, tack-on runs. And then after the game, you say the Royals got lucky? It sounds like he realizes he was out at second base too. Although, looking at the replay, I thought he might have turned his heel and got in, but then I saw a zoom in on that replay, like he wasn't even fucking close. So I don't know what the hell. Obviously, Taylor's thinking. I don't know what the hell he's thinking, but to infer that the team got lucky when they beat your ass. Yeah, no, that's not good. Because what happens? What are you going to say if they manage to beat you and eliminate you from the playoffs? The sun got in your eyes? Act like you've been there before. But then again, he was there with the Marlins. Say what you will about that. Another clown show dumpster fire of an organization. Jazz Chisholm, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.